I hope you'll listen. With a special care this morning and again tonight, I'm going to be dealing with practically the same subject this morning and again this evening. The title of this message is All That Walk in Pride, He Will Abase. He is able to abase. All that walk in pride, He will abase. Now, Paul wrote to young Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verse 5. He said this, be alert. Be alert. Calm and steady. Steady as you go. In all things, accept and endure all hardships. Do the work of an evangelist. And fully perform all the duties of your ministry. Fully perform all the duties of your ministry. Now, I know the duties of the ministry are not what men today think they are. And yet, I know that the duties of the ministry are vast. And while we're not sufficient for these great things, this ministry of the word, nevertheless, our sufficiency is Christ. But two things are especially on my mind in these days. Two things are with me continually. The first thing is this. I want to preach the gospel of Christ. I don't want to preach another gospel, another Jesus, and another spirit. I want to declare the true gospel, the saving gospel, the gospel of His free grace, the gospel which Paul called the gospel of His glory. I want to preach that. I want to preach the free grace of God in Christ Jesus in such a way that sincere men and women, not those who are playing games, not those who are looking for personal glory and recognition, not those who are craving social contacts alone, but I want to preach it in such a way that sincere men and women who long to know God, the living God, and Jesus Christ whom He has sent, that they will be encouraged to look to Christ. To look to Christ, that they will be encouraged to believe on Christ, to lay hold of Christ, to find a saving interest in Christ, a real sweet assurance of a union with Him. That's what He came to do. He said, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save the lost, not the religious, not the righteous. I didn't come, He said, to call the righteous, but sinners to repent. This is a true saying, Paul said, a faithful saying. It's worthy of acceptation by all that Christ Jesus came into this world. He came into this world. The Father sent Him, and He came into this world to save sinners like you and me. Like you and me. Paul said, of whom I'm chief. And Isaiah said, come now. Let's reason together. I told my Sunday school class this morning, this religion of emotionalism and showmanship and entertainment and whoop-de-doo, carnival atmosphere, somehow it's contrary to the Scriptures, to the character of God. It's a put-on. Isaiah said, come now and let us reason together. Let's do some thinking. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And the second thing that's on my mind continually is this. And it gets, this situation, I think, gets worse every day. I am troubled by the low opinion that men today have of God. I'm so troubled about this that I'm going to dedicate both messages today to this subject, the character and greatness of our God. I tell you, men today have a low opinion of God. The trash and trite and foolishness that's going on in the name of God is appalling to anybody who has any sense at all. These men are con men. They're jokers. They're carnival barkers. They're fools, and those who are following them are fools. I don't care how many follow them. But there's no fear of God before their eyes. There's no solemnity and sobriety and seriousness when it comes to God. They so flippantly use His name. They talk of God in one breath and the devil in the next breath, as if they were competitors. Thou thoughtest I was altogether such a one as thyself? Such familiarity, such small thoughts of God. One preacher says, God said to me, Jimmy. Such loose talk. Such lies about conversations with God. God never said anything to him, and that fool knows it. And anybody that knows anything about God listening to him knows it. No man has seen him or heard his voice at any time. The only begotten Son hath revealed him. No man knows the Father but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Why do we listen to these people? Why do we put up with them? Why do we keep silent where they're concerned? We must declare the majesty of God. Paul said over here in 1 Timothy, listen to this, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. That's not the language of today. You say that's old time language. That's godly language. Time's got nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. Let me just read you this over here in Ecclesiastes 5. Keep your foot when you go to the house of God. Be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. They consider not they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth. Let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God's in the heaven and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. We're the wordiest blabbermouth in the world when it comes to God. Nobody's paying any attention. Well, hallelujah, praise the Lord, whoop-de-doo, glory to God. Just somehow these preachers feel like that they've got to keep that jargon going all the time. People waving their hands and cutting up. And they got to have that musical background to keep that atmosphere going. And it's counterfeit. Counterfeit. Old Job said this. Job said, I know that thou canst do everything, that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not. Things too wonderful for me. I've been popping off about things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee, wherefore I abhor myself. I repent in dust and ashes. I want you to turn to the book of Daniel with me, the book of Daniel, chapter 4. And I tell you, this is a serious subject that I have today. I wish I had the ear of the world. I may be assassinated when I got through, but I'd love to have it one time. One time. Daniel 4:28. All this came upon the king, Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 29, at the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power, for the honor of my majesty? And while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. They shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and 7 times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen. And his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird claws. At the end of the days, Nebuchadnezzar lifted up my eyes to heaven, and my understanding, my mind, returned to me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, all of them. And he doeth according to his will, in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Now, no one ever accused old Nebuchadnezzar of being a prophet, but God taught him. God taught him some things that my generation needs to learn. God taught him, like Jonah, some powerful truth in an unusual way. And I'll give you several things that God taught Nebuchadnezzar. First of all, he taught him the majesty and greatness and sovereignty of the Lord God. He said, look at verse 34. He said the last line, I bless the Most High, the Most High, the Most High. I praise him that liveth forever. I wish we could adopt this language today. But out of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And a man's idea of God is usually what comes out of his mouth. His dominion is an everlasting dominion. We've got a limited peanut God today who wants to do things and folks won't let him. His kingdom is from generation to generation. Thy throne, eternal ages stood. Ere seas and stars were made, thou art the ever-living God where all the nations dead. Eternity with all its years stands present in thy view. To thee nothing old appears, and great God, there's nothing new. Let idols topple to the ground and all their worshipers confound. But Judah shout and Zion sing, and each confess her sovereign king. Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he pleased. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven, in earth, in the seas, and all deep places. Moses walked into the presence of Pharaoh and said, the Lord said, let my people go. And Pharaoh answered and said, who is the Lord? Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I know not the Lord. Neither will I let Israel go. I wonder how many here really know the Lord, the living God. Well, I'll tell you this. If you know him, it's because he's revealed himself to you. Because as we studied in our Bible class lesson this morning, no man can come to me except my Father which sent me draw him. And I'll raise him up at the last day. As it's written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. And every man that hath heard and learned of the Father cometh to me. Well, God taught Moses that he was the eternal God. Moses stood before the burning bush, and God gave him instructions to lead Israel out of Egypt. And Moses said, well, when they ask me who sent me, whom shall I say has sent me? And God said, the Lord God spoke and said, I am that I am. Not was, not will be. I am. That's what that hymn writer said here when he says, eternity with all its years stands present in thy view. To thee nothing old appears, great God, there's nothing new. I am. I am. Not I was or I shall be. He's eternally the same. There was a time when man was not. There was a time when the world was not. There was a time when the angels were not. There was a time when the heavens were not. There's a time when time was not. But God is. See what I'm saying? God is. God is. And somewhere in here, somewhere, somebody in this day, in the pulpit or the pew or somewhere, got to light a spark and get some folks interested in finding out who God is. Because most people don't know. The preachers don't know. I can tell by the way they're talking. He doesn't know God. There's no awe or fear. There's no solemnity. There's no respect. There's no reverence in the man's approach. The man's a fool. The man's a ringmaster in a circus. The man's a cheerleader. He doesn't know God. He doesn't know God. I can tell where he talks, he doesn't know God. I can tell where he refers to it. God revealed himself to Isaiah as the holy God. Isaiah said, when King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. And even those creatures in heaven covered their faces and covered their feet, and with two wings flew about the throne, crying, holy, 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 Lord God of hosts. And the whole earth was moved, and I fell at his feet, and I cried, I'm undone, I'm cut off, I'm cut off. But we're a cocky, confident bunch. Our spokesmen, our preachers, our leaders are good men, righteous men. They're men of God, they'll tell you. They wish you were like them. There's none of this, I'm cut off. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. I'm less than the least of all the saints. I'm the chief of sinners. Who's sufficient for these things? We're sufficient. We've got the answers. Call in and ask us. Without any notes or anything, we'll answer any question you might want. Call our counselors. They're all authorities. We got a whole half a stage full of counselors busy on the phone. You got any problems about God or spirituality or Christ or heaven or hell, or just ask our counselors. We're not afraid to tackle anything, because fools rush in where angels don't dare to go. That's right. I'm telling you the truth. You need to call a different phone than those. You need to get in touch with him. And Isaiah saw him as the Holy One. He revealed himself to Job as the creating, sustaining God of the universe. "Where were you," he said, "when I made the sea and put a swaddling band around it and said, 'You come so far and no further'? Have you entered into the treasures of the snow? Does the wind go and come at your voice? Will the lightning obey your voice? Did you make the horse who will dash into battle fearlessly against spears and arrows and swords and yet will be afraid of a grasshopper? Have you entered into death? Do you know anything about life? Death? I'm the creating God. Who teaches the bird to lay her eggs and build her nest and feed her young? Who teaches her the direction to go in the winter and come back in the summer? Who teaches the lion to give birth to her young and defend them? Who provides food for all of these billions of creatures on the earth? Not that peanut God this generation worships." Right, Charlie. It's sad. It's sad. He revealed himself to Jeremiah as the sovereign God. He said, "You be still, know that I'm God. And you come down here to the potter's house and you watch the potter." And Jeremiah said, "I went down, I watched him. And he took a lump of clay and put it on the wheel and spun the wheel, kept it going with his foot, and he designed that vessel just like it pleased him." And God said, "Jeremiah, as the clay is in the hands of the potter, so are you in my hands to do with what I will." Don't you believe any preacher stands before you, no matter how vast the throng, no matter how many dignitaries are sitting on the platform, I don't care if Cliff Hagin, Jerry Claiborne, both are sitting up there, and the governor. Don't you believe any preacher tells you Christ is in your hands or God's in your hands to do with as you please. God permitted himself to fall into the hands of sinful men one time, and they nailed him to a cross, and that's the only time. Now you're in his hands. And he's the potter. You're not the potter. He's the potter. And you're the clay. And Paul repeated it in Romans. And you can gnash your teeth and grit your teeth and clench your fist and fight that till your dying day. But I'll tell you, that's what the Word of God says. But I don't want any other kind of God. I want an almighty God. One who holds tomorrow. Not just who knows, but who holds the Father. He revealed himself to Ezekiel as love and mercy. He said, "You were like a child born to heathen parents and cast out into the field the day you were born. You weren't washed and swaddled at all, but lay polluted in your own blood, helpless and hopeless and a prey to the beast. And I passed by you and saw you polluted in your blood. And it was a time of love, not your love for me. You didn't know me. You weren't capable of knowing me. There was such an infinite distance between you and me that I loved you. And I said to you, 'Live.' I said to you, 'When you're in your blood, live.' And I reached down and picked you up and washed you from your pollution. And I put a robe on you and rings on your fingers. And I decked you out with scarlet and fine linen and satin and all these things. And I made you mine. And your beauty is my beauty. My beauty. He revealed himself to Solomon as the righteous judge. He said, I've called and you've refused. I stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. Therefore, I'll laugh when your fear cometh. When your desolation comes like a whirlwind, I'll laugh. Then you shall call on me, and I will not answer. You say, Lord, Lord, open to us. And I'll say, depart from me. I never knew you. To the only wise God, our Savior and our King, let all the nations below the skies bow humbly their praises bring. To our Redeemer God, wisdom and power belong, immortal crowns of majesty and everlasting songs. What did God teach old Nebuchadnezzar? Look at the second thing in verse 35. Now listen to me. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. Nothing. This is not what's been preached today. It's to being honest with you, the man in the glass church, whatever his name is, he says you're something. You're something. You got to find out you're something. You're somebody. The dignity of the flesh. God taught Nebuchadnezzar and put him out there like a donkey eating grass. And his understanding returned to him and he said, I found out that God is something and I am nothing. That God reigns and rules and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. 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 I want you to turn to Psalm 40. Isaiah 40. Please turn over there. I want you to see these three or four statements in Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, verse 15. Now listen to it. Isaiah 40, verse 15. Now listen with me. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket. The nations. I'm not talking about the poor, insignificant, famine-infested, inferior, third world nation. I'm talking about all the nations of the earth made up of all the people are as a drop of a bucket. My friends, you know what a drop of a bucket is? A drop of a bucket. You who raised on the farm do. It's that last drop that remains in the bucket after you empty the whole contents. Pour it out, and a drop remains in the bottom. Too insignificant to pay attention to. Or when you drop the bucket into the well to draw the water, what's the drop of the bucket? It's that water that drops off the bottom of the bucket when you pull up your bucket. You don't reach out and catch it. Hey, don't lose a drop. Let her drop. There's plenty. Let her drop. Pay attention to that old drop of a bucket. That's what we are. Unworthy of notice. Look at this. Here, this will shock you. Same verse, Isaiah 40, 15. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance. You know what that is? This is the dust. You've got a scale, a balance, where they weigh things. There's the dust that settles on the scale, but it's not sufficient to affect the weight of the matter at all. The man in the store doesn't, every time he weighs something, get a cloth and damp cloth and scrub all the dust off the scale, because the small dust that settles on the scale is not significant to affect it one bit in the world. Just a thin layer of dust. That's what we are. We're not going to affect the outcome of God's world one hour. All the nations are like a drop that fell off the bucket. Boy, that does something to old human pride, doesn't it? We'll get our signs in March. We'll start a this, that, and the other. You know, we'll picket heaven. We'll demand of God. Go ahead.
Dust of the balance.
Drop in the bucket. But he's not through. He's not through. Behold, he taketh up the isles. The United States is an island. Canada, United States, Central America, and South America, surrounded by just an island. Australia is an island. Taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon, the forest of Lebanon, all the trees in the world not sufficient to light a fire at his altar. And all the beasts, think how many beasts there are. The deer, the lions, the elephants, the tigers, all these beasts are not sufficient for one burnt offering. All nations before him, not some of them, all together, the kings, the emperors, the rich, the learned, the talented, the wise, all of these mighty nations together are before him as nothing, nothing, nothing. They are counted to him less than nothing. I tell you, Brother Mahan, that's not the kind of preaching that is going to get you a following and get people to give and get people to support you and get people to promote you and get people. Folks aren't going to listen to that. I know it. They never did. God sent Isaiah and said, go to them. They're not going to hear you, but you go preach to them. And you tell them what I said. Telling you what he said. Is this, that is in the Bible that you've got in your hand, isn't it? All the nations are less than nothing. Where are the Caesars and where are the Alexanders? Where are the Lincolns? Men we admire. All that remains of them is a hole in the ground. Not even any bones left now, just specks of dust. They are no more. They're nothing. We're nothing. We're less than nothing. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. If a man thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. We brought nothing into the world. We'll take nothing out. Without me, you can do nothing. Huh? I challenge Dr. Graham to preach on this. I challenge him. I know I'm a peanut, one grape on the big vine. But they know what not to preach on. This generation doesn't want to hear it. The day will come when they'll heap to themselves, having itching ears, teachers with itching ears, who'll turn away their ears from the truth. Nebuchadnezzar, God taught him some things. And he said, my understanding came back to me, and I said, the Most High rules. His dominion is from everlasting to everlasting. His kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of this earth are reputed as nothing. Less than nothing. And then watch this, in the fourth chapter again, verse 30, 35. And he said, and he doeth according to his will. He doeth according to his will. You call me a fatalist, hard shell, hyper-Calvinist. I don't care what you call me. That's totally insignificant. God calls me his son, and I believe him. And I call him Father. And what other people think doesn't matter. But it says here, he doeth according to his will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of this earth, and nobody can stay his hand. Now, you can stay my hand. I'm a weak person. Just grab it. But you can't stay his hand. And you can't say anything. You can't question what he does. You can't say, what are you doing? You can come to me tomorrow and I'll be out there trying to work my yard. I say, what are you doing? Don't do it that way. God does it his way. And you can't stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? And you can talk about the will of man and man's will and free will and the violation of the will and all of this will stuff, whosoever will. But I'm telling you now, in this universe, there's one will. There's one will. And it says, he doeth according to his will. Now, every other will is in subjection to his will because he's going to do his will. And he taught us to pray, thy will be done. And David said, our God's in the heaven. Whatsoever he will, that's what he did. Paul wrote in Ephesians 1, he worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Peter said in Acts 4, he said, you did what you wanted to do, but you did what he willed to do. And that's it. I've learned it, I believe. I can say without boasting. I hope the brag and boast and the starch is taken out of us, but I have some understanding, at least a little, enough to frighten me, enough to subdue me, enough to whittle me down, strip me of the greatness of God. I know in part, prophesy in part, but God is God. Let God be God. And I found out we're nothing. Really, folks, we're nothing. We put our name, we chisel our names on stones and put them on schools and memorials and buildings, and that's folly. That's trying to hold on to something that doesn't even exist, and that's human fame and dignity. You brought nothing into this world. You take nothing out. You know what he said? We clamor to build huge ranches and monuments to ourselves. And the only thing that's necessary is to know him. Believe me, to know him. And then the last thing he taught Nebuchadnezzar, verse 37. I'll just read it and let it sink into my heart and yours, I hope. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, I praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth. I like that, don't you? Truth. And his ways, judgment. They're right. The judge of the earth, shall he not do right? Amen. Amen. And those that walk in pride, even that much, he is able to abase. He'll get you. Go on. He's able. He's able.